Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. Germany and America.
Hello. Last week, we talked about conditions in Germany, where I had been to address a Congress of the National Democratic Party of Germany. I emphasized two things: the racial and cultural degradation of Germany during 54 years of rule by an occupation government, and the lack of freedom of Germans today, specifically their lack of freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. That's as good a place as any to start today. What I want to talk about today is the evidence that the same people who are degrading Germany and preventing Germans from speaking and assembling freely are degrading America and are doing their damnedest to take away Americans' freedom as well. Much of the evidence I'll give you is merely suggestive. With my limited investigative resources, that's all I can do. You'll have to make your own judgment on what the evidence means. Let's begin with the case of Gary Lauck. Mr. Lauck is a native of Lincoln, Nebraska. For years, he published materials characterized by the Jewish media here as neo-Nazi. And he shipped these materials to friends in Germany who distributed them to the German public through underground channels, much to the annoyance of the German government, which does not permit Germans to read such materials. In fact, the German government complained long and loud about Lauck, and the Clinton government in Washington apologized and said that, unfortunately, there was nothing it could do to punish Lauck or stop his publishing activity, since, unfortunately, the U.S. Constitution permits American citizens to do that sort of thing. Well, actually, there was something the Clinton government could do to stop Lauck, and that's what it did. In 1995, when Lauck was visiting friends in Denmark, Mr. Clinton's government, which keeps track of the coming and going of U.S. citizens, tipped off the secret police in Germany, the Verfassungsschutz, that Lauck was in Denmark. The Verfassungsschutz asked the Danish government, which since the Second World War has not been much better than the German government, to arrest Lauck and extradite him to Germany. And that's what happened. The German government then put Lauck in prison for 4 years. Think about it. Lauck broke no law in the United States, and he broke no law in Germany. The German government imprisoned Lauck because of his perfectly legal activities in the United States, because of his constitutionally protected activities, and the Clinton government helped the German government do it. The Jews and the other Clintonistas like to talk about freedom and civil rights and so on, but what they mean is freedom for homosexuals to flaunt their lifestyle in public and become Boy Scout leaders. Freedom for Haitians and Mexicans to pour across our borders unchecked. Freedom for feminists to make rules which everyone else must obey. Freedom for blacks to mug and rape whites in the secure knowledge that the whites can't defend themselves because the government has taken away their guns. That's what they mean by freedom. The Clintonistas do not mean freedom for white Americans to exercise their constitutional rights. They hate the idea of civil rights for heterosexual white males. That scares them. Heterosexual white males are the enemy. They don't deserve freedom. That is what the Clintonistas really believe. They couldn't figure a way to lock up Lauck themselves, so they arranged for the German government to do it. And then they grinned and sat on their hands for 4 years while Lauck rotted in a German prison. Not a word in the mass media over here, and not a word of protest from the Clinton government to the German government. Not a single letter from Madeleine Albright or any of the other Jews running our State Department. Can you imagine the hullabaloo Madeleine Albright would have raised if a Jew from the United States, while visiting Jordan, say, were arrested by the Jordanian government and extradited to Iraq at the request of Saddam Hussein, and then were sentenced to 4 years in an Iraqi prison because, while in the United States, he had published unkind things about Saddam. Can you imagine how that horrid old Jewess would shriek until Saddam released the Jew and apologized? I mean, really, the Clinton State Department would have threatened war and would have been happy to blast Baghdad with more cruise missiles. But when precisely the same thing happens to an American citizen who is a heterosexual white male like Lauk, the Clinton government ignores it, and the mass media ignore it. They really believe that Lauk shouldn't have freedom of speech because he publishes politically incorrect things. The Jews and their collaborators and the Clinton government are really happy that they were able to punish Lauk for publishing things they don't approve of. Well, Gary Lauk served his 4 years in a German prison and returned to the United States earlier this year. Then he decided to buy a handgun and applied for a pistol permit as required by Nebraska law. On the application, he answered no to a question as to whether or not he is a convicted felon, because he has never been convicted of a felony in the United States, and he considered his conviction in a German court for his exercise of his constitutional rights in the United States to be spurious and of no legal validity. The state of Nebraska routinely checks all applications for pistol permits with the FBI, and the FBI reported back that Lauk was indeed a convicted felon because of the German government's charges against him. He was arrested last week and charged with swearing falsely on his application for a pistol permit. He faces up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. The Jews in the Clinton government are really giggling over this one, but I'll bet you haven't even heard about it before this broadcast, unless you happen to live in Lincoln, Nebraska. What this amounts to is an affirmation by the U.S. government of the German government's treatment of Lauk. You know, what was done to Gary Lauk is really outrageous. It shouldn't happen to an American citizen. The Clinton government not only permitted it to happen without protest, but actually caused it to happen because the Clintonistas don't like what Lauk publishes. They really do want to have the same sort of laws in the United States which the Jews have imposed on Germany, so that only politically correct speech is protected by the Constitution. They lie about it. They put on a big show of defending free speech, but it is all pretense and deception. Here's another example of their deceit, which shows the parallels between what they've done to Germany and what they're doing to America. First, a little background. Since the end of the Second World War, the biggest Jewish racket has been the bleeding of Germans for reparations. The so-called Holocaust has been used to extract more than $60 billion from the German people, supposedly to compensate Jews for the suffering and loss they claim to have experienced during the war as a result of Hitler's anti-Jewish policies. Oy vey, the Nazis took all our gold and put us in gas chambers, so now you must pay us. Well, this racket worked for more than 50 years, but many Germans were getting tired of it. They said, the Nazis are all dead. We weren't born until after the war. We aren't Nazis. We don't owe you anything. So the Jews shifted their tactic. They said, oy vey, it wasn't just the Nazis. It was all the Germans. You all persecuted us. A Jewish professor at Harvard, Daniel Goldhagen, came out with a book titled Hitler's Willing Executioners, the theme of which was that all Germans, not just the Nazis, had hated and mistreated Jews, and so all Germans owe the Jews reparations. The book was given an inordinate amount of publicity by the Jewish media, and the browbeaten Germans began groveling and apologizing again. Just to drive the point home, the Jews and their collaborators organized a traveling photo exhibit to persuade the German people that the entire German military establishment, not just Hitler's elite SS troops, had persecuted the Jews and committed atrocities during the war. Therefore, all the Germans still owe the Jews. The exhibit, titled War of Extermination, Crimes of the Wehrmacht, 1941 to 1944, has more than 800 photographs supposedly showing atrocities committed by German soldiers. During the 4 years this exhibit has been traveling around Germany, German veterans and other patriots have protested that many of the photographs are fakes and that the whole exhibit, in effect, is a lie intended to make Germans feel guilty and to extort more payments from them. Despite the protests, the German Lemmings continued to view the exhibit and to feel guilty as intended. And I should mention that Jews are not the only ones promoting it. Treasonous German liberals in business, politics, and the academy, who have hitched their wagons to the Jewish star and try to outdo one another in expressing hatred for their own people, are enthusiastic supporters of the exhibit. Its biggest financial support comes from a billionaire German cigarette maker, Jan Rinksma. The exhibit was scheduled to begin a tour of the United States next month, opening in New York on December 2nd. Well, all that was changed a few days ago when a few courageous historians came forward with convincing arguments that the exhibit is, in fact, a lie. I say courageous because in Germany the government puts people in prison for contradicting any aspect of the Holocaust story. The historians presented irrefutable evidence that several of the atrocity photographs had been staged after the war, and that others, while showing genuine atrocities, were of atrocities committed by the Soviet secret police, the NKVD. The historians pointed out that piles of bodies in some of the photographs claimed to be victims of the Wehrmacht are in fact Polish, German, and Baltic civilians murdered by the Soviet NKVD. This is especially embarrassing to the exhibit's promoters because the NKVD at the time the photographs were taken was led and heavily staffed by Soviet Jews. So the exhibit has been withdrawn while the matter is studied. It will not be coming to New York next month after all. And that's too bad because it might do the American Lemmings some good to see what the Jews, those poor, innocent, persecuted darlings, were themselves doing to non-Jews during the war. But let me tell you something. If it weren't for the fact that the evidence of fraud uncovered by a few courageous historians is beginning to find its way into the historical journals, where it no longer can be ignored, the promoters of this anti-Wehrmacht exhibit would have brazenly continued their roadshow, knowingly deceiving Germans and Americans in order to promote their own Jewish agenda. Do you begin to see what all of this is suggesting? Let me give you another recent example. Before Madeleine Albright launched her murderous war against Serbia earlier this year, Jewish television was full of atrocity stories about what the terrible Nazi-like Serbs were doing to the poor, innocent, persecuted Albanians in Serbia's Kosovo province. Albright's Jewish spokesman, James Rubin, was on the air every night moaning about the genocide and the ethnic cleansing in Kosovo. Before the bombing began, Rubin claimed that 2,500 Albanians already had been killed in Kosovo by the Serbs. Rubin and other Jews in the government and the media were constantly and stridently calling for war, except that they didn't call it war. They called it humanitarian intervention. Careful observers may have noted that many of the alleged Serb atrocities being shown to American television viewers during the pre-war period had an uncanny similarity to each other. We saw the same Albanian corpse or alleged massacre site on our screens night after night, just filmed from a different angle and with slightly different commentary each time. The intent clearly was to make a few killings seem like many, and the politicians participated in the deceit. Before the bombing started, the Jews' number one, Stephen Fetchett in Britain, Clinton clone Tony Blair, announced, and I quote, "We must act to save thousands of innocent men, women, and children from humanitarian catastrophe, from death, barbarism, and ethnic cleansing by a brutal dictatorship," end quote. 8 weeks after the bombing started, when the war was coming under increasing criticism from dissidents, in an effort to build voter support for the war, Clinton's Jewish Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, announced that as many as 100,000 Albanians of military age had been murdered in Kosovo by the Serbs. Tony Blair's ministers were not quite as hyperbolic as Bill Clinton's, but Blair's foreign minister, Jeff Hoon, announced on June 17th, and I quote, "According to the reports we have gathered, it appears that around 10,000 people have been killed in more than 100 massacres. The final toll may be much worse," end quote. After Slobodan Milosevic finally caved in and permitted NATO to send its troops into Serbia, the media continued to announce huge numbers of Albanians supposedly murdered by the Serbs. When NATO had occupied all of Kosovo province, we still were hearing figures of 44,000 butchered Albanians, hundreds of mass graves, etc. Then the figure of murdered Albanians dropped to 22,000, then to 11,000. Bernard Kouchner, the United Nations chief administrator in occupied Kosovo, announced that 11,000 bodies already had been found in mass graves throughout Kosovo. Altogether, 20 forensic teams were sent in to dig up the mass graves and count the bodies. Well, that was more than 4 months ago, and somehow all of the body hunters, including a team from the FBI, actually have found a grand total of 670 bodies of Albanians, and not all of those were killed by Serbs. It's beginning to look as if that's all they will find. That's fewer Albanians than Madeleine Albright killed accidentally when her smart bombs went astray or her trigger-happy pilots shot up refugee columns. And, of course, it's a lot less than the number of Serbs murdered by KLA gangsters under NATO protection since the bombing stopped in June. Those murders, by the way, are continuing on a daily basis, but the Jewish media no longer bother to report them. I mean, it's becoming a bit embarrassing for them. If they begin reporting the continuing murder of Serb civilians by the KLA, that might remind people to ask how many Albanians the Serbs killed, how many mass graves have been uncovered, and so on. It's hard enough to keep the more independent-minded UN inspectors from blurting out the facts. The chief Spanish forensic inspector, Juan Lopez Palafox, told a Spanish newspaper, and I quote, "They told us that we should prepare ourselves to perform more than 2,000 autopsies. The result is very different. We found only 187 cadavers, and now we are going to return to Spain." Inspectors were told that there was a mass grave near the town of Ljubenich containing 350 bodies. They dug everything up and found just 7 bodies. They were told that the bodies of 700 Albanians had been dumped down mine shafts at Trepsa in northern Kosovo. After an exhaustive search, inspectors concluded that there were no bodies at all there. It might seem a bit reckless of the Jews to try to justify an unpopular war such as the recent one against Serbia with lots of phony atrocity stories they knew wouldn't stand up to scrutiny. But just consider the way it has worked out. Madeleine Albright, Bill Clinton, and Tony Blair still are able to claim in public that their murderous bombing of Serbia was a humanitarian mission, that they saved the lives of many thousands of Albanians by chasing the Serb army out of Kosovo, and that their so-called peacekeeping troops have brought peace and security to the region. They are able to claim these things despite the facts I have cited, because only a few voters know the truth. Only a few voters are interested in the truth. Most voters know only what they see on network television, and network television isn't about to make Madeleine or Bill or Tony look bad. It was a Jewish war, and so it had to be a good war, a justified war. I'll reiterate, in a democracy like we have in the United States, the truth isn't really important. What's important is what the mass of voters believe to be true, and since the mass of voters never investigate anything or even do any independent reading, whoever controls television controls what they believe. Summary Lauk can have his constitutional rights violated, and the voters never will know about it because it won't be on network television. The Jews can cook up the most outrageous atrocity stories, whether about what supposedly happened to them during the Second World War, or what the Serbs supposedly did to the Albanians before Madeleine began her bombing. And the stories don't really have to hold water in order to be effective. They can be the flimsiest and most transparent lies because the average voter simply isn't discriminating enough to see through them. They believe whatever Tom Brokaw or Dan Rather or Peter Jennings tells them to believe. I'm really surprised that the phony Wehrmacht atrocity exhibit was pulled just because a few historians were raising hell about faked photographs and NKVD Jews murdering Gentile civilians and blaming it on the Germans. The sports fans and soccer moms who learn what's going on from Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather, and Peter Jennings certainly never would have learned what the historians were saying. If the German liberals weren't so wishy-washy, the historians simply could have been thrown in prison for hate speech. The exhibit could open in New York as scheduled, and the lemmings would have believed everything they were told. One thing that may have played a role in killing the phony Wehrmacht exhibit is that information about the faked photos in it has been circulating on the Internet during the past couple of weeks. The Jews are working hard to keep what they call hate off the Internet. The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and other Jewish groups are lobbying to make it mandatory to have what they call hate filters installed on all school and library computers so that the kiddies can't have their minds polluted by inconvenient facts about phony Wehrmacht atrocities or phony gas chamber stories or phony Serb massacres of Albanians. Well, my point today is that what is happening in Germany and what is happening in the United States are connected. They are connected by the same lies told by the same liars. Many of the things that have been done to Germany, mass immigration by non-whites, the cultural degradation, the non-white crime, and so on, also have been done to the United States. The loss of our freedom of speech and assembly will be next. Thanks for being with me again today.